the Dental of Tennessee. So much to cover today, a whole lot of good, but enough bad to keep this team and this coaching staff and these players busy this coming week. At least that's the way I saw the game. The Vols played over half the game with their offensive quarterback, Maurer, and their defensive quarterback, Batuli, out of the ballgame. They committed 13 penalties for 93 yards, nine of those in the first half. Total penalties, by the way, this is accepted penalties for the game, 21 for 186. I know there's some consternation out there about the officiating in some instances. You know what? I don't think that had a whole lot to do with the game. You may disagree with me on that. I thought there certainly were some things that were could have been maybe overlooked a little bit. But fact of the matter is, most of those penalties were penalties. A game like this, I would hope, and this is a pretty veteran crew, I would hope that they would be a little bit more judicious maybe in some of the things that they call both ways, not just against Tennessee or for Alabama or vice versa. But anyway, that is what it is. I learned a long time ago you can complain about that all you want to. It's kind of like the weather. Not going to get a whole lot better. I'll get into some of those things just a little bit today and some of the mistakes and kind of silly penalties really Tennessee made. Had been 13 penalties is a bunch. Seemingly, I did not break them down, most of them on the offensive side. There were some silly defensive penalties from inexperienced players. But again, big ball game. Tennessee played well. Tennessee improved. We'll take a look at that today. And we'll also look ahead at what is ahead for this Tennessee Vol football team. This first segment, of course, will always, as always, will be the church segment. We'll go to about 24 after, give you an opportunity, many of you I know, to listen in your car or wherever as you're going to church. All right, so where do we go from here? This is most important. Going into the game, in my view at least, it was most important. Where do we go from here? Alabama's Alabama. This game was this game. Tennessee was not going to play for the SEC East Championship anyway. So where do we go from here? Well, five games remain, and that's going to be the focus of much of today's show later on. But let's first start with the information, analysis, and critique part of the ball game. Let's look at some stats and some facts here. Just some things, and I'm going to kind of talk through these and talk where Tennessee is getting better. Tennessee played pretty darn well against a very good football team yesterday, number one team in the country. They played in Tuscaloosa. They played in front of a crowd that was, I've been to a lot of Tennessee-Alabama games over the years, starting in Birmingham and a couple in Tuscaloosa. I don't know this. Maybe someone was there and could let me know. But it did not appear to be many Tennessee folks down there, and I certainly understand why, late ball game and all those different things. But Tennessee played well in this game, and I think we grew some in some of these areas. I'm going to get into some of the really plus parts, how many really young guys we had playing in this ball game, particularly freshmen, as we go through it. But let's just kind of take a look at some of the stats. Tennessee had net rushing yards of 137. Now, I know that doesn't comport with what the official stats say. I add sacks back in. I'm not going to go into that whole deal again, but listen, sacks come off the passing game. You're not back there trying to run the football when you get sacked. You're back there trying to throw it. So Tennessee had 137 rushing yards. That is excellent against a very good defensive team. Tennessee improved in that area. Penalties, of course, were a negative, 13 for 93. Alabama had 8 for 93 total yards there. But Tennessee had some key ones down in the scoring zone that cost. Net yards per punt, quite frankly, was about as bad as I've seen a Tennessee team. I don't know what it is with the kicking game. Maybe it's the people we're playing, although how well you punt the ball and kick the ball shouldn't have much to do with that. But in both Georgia and Alabama now, Net punting of 30 yards, that's not enough, not for this group. The possession time, and I'll get into this just a little later in the show, but possession time, Tennessee won the time of possession. Now, that's never big to me, but let me tell you what is big. Fourth quarter, Tennessee had the ball 10 minutes. And as we talk about in the analysis part of this, I'll get into how important it is to have a game where we had two long drives in the fourth quarter, ate up a lot of clock, and frankly got in position to get within one score with that last drive. Again, we'll talk about that in the analysis part. Red zone scoring chances was where Tennessee, we got down there several times. We were four times inside the 20-yard line, Alabama's 20-yard line. We scored three times, but only one of those was a touchdown. We were forced to kick two field goals, and at least one of those was because a big reason because of penalties. Alabama, this is how you win ball games. Alabama was there six times, but they scored four times, and all four were touchdowns. So if you look at that, that's a plus 15 points because they scored when they were in the red zone. We did not. It was a pretty darn good day, both offense and defensive, from a sack perspective. We had two sacks for 15 yards against a dang good offense. I'm not sure how good Alabama's defense is. They're good. Don't get me wrong. This isn't a team that is as good as some of the past because they have youth much like us. They have very talented players there. But on the other side of it, Alabama had three sacks for 23 yards, but one on a couple, maybe a couple of them were on Shrout there at the end. So points off turnovers, seven for Tennessee, seven for Alabama. A couple of key things here. Again, this is a young team. Well, let me just hit this real quickly now. We had three freshmen on offense and three freshmen on defense that played multiple snaps on offense in particular. We had two freshman offensive tackles, true freshmen. We had a freshman quarterback. And to only have one interception and one fumble out of that group, and you know both of them, the interception was certainly not the quarterback's fault. The fumble that was returned for a touchdown was the quarterback's fault. Of course, that wasn't a freshman quarterback. So all in all, there's no doubt in my mind that we took a step forward today. Again, where do we go from here? That is the most important part. So as you look at the statistics and look at those aren't end-alls, be-alls, but it gives us a pretty good little picture of how this team played. Field position, always key. And the way we started out, it looked like we were going to get run out of the stadium. Alabama's first two possessions, they got the ball on our 35 and our 38. They scored a touchdown. We had a big interception by Warrior, who continues to improve and get better. How many times have you heard me say this? I say it a bunch because I know how important it is, and I've seen it so many times. When you have Nigel Warrior hasn't had a stellar career at Tennessee, but those teams, when you have good teams and when you perform well, normally you have seniors that haven't done much, and he's played a lot of snaps, don't get me wrong, but he is really playing at a pretty darn high level right now. Big interception, key interception, ran it back. And, of course, we ended up scoring a touchdown on that. But after those first two drives where Alabama got the ball on our 35 and our 38, after that, field position was excellent. So what does all that mean? That means that we're doing the little things better that sometimes get overlooked. We're playing better defense. We're in position more. The fundamental part of it, we're blocking better. Our offensive line is, I think, really improving and coming along. Again, this is not a great Alabama defense, but it is a darn good one. It's good enough to get them to number one in the country. And we pretty much held our own yesterday. And just the mere fact of rush for 137 yards, to me, is pretty darn key on that. So, and again, Tennessee had two really – offensively, we had an 11-play drive. They got a field goal. We had a 14-play drive that was on the one-yard line on fourth down with an opportunity to get within one score. All in all, this was a darn good football game in a lot of ways. Did we have an opportunity to win it? Probably not. We could have got close. But we played so exceptionally well on that. So, just some of the analysis, a little information. I want to just hit a couple of key of these again. I missed the rush yards, and the rush yards allowed. Alabama only had 155 rushing yards on that. They had a quarterback go out too. I realize that. Fourth quarter time of possession, I mentioned 10 minutes, two games in a row. This is where these last five games is when this is important. Just think back to last year. What happened in the last four or five games of last year? We could get absolutely nothing done offensively running the ball, and we couldn't do anything stopping the run. And because of that, we really ended the season up very poorly last year against some teams that, well, they weren't top-quality teams, let me put it like that. This bodes well. We're going to see what's going to happen in these next five games. I'll discuss those at the end of the show, the last segment. But this bodes well when you can run the ball, when you can stop the run, or at least keep it under control. And that happened yesterday. Let's talk about the analysis part of it. Improvement, offense and defense. Is there any doubt we improved both sides of the ball? This offensive line continues to get better, as I mentioned, and we have another player or two hopping in there. We had two freshmen, true freshmen, and a sophomore that started and played much of the ball game. We had a freshman quarterback that played. We got good production out of a lot of people. We did not lay the ball on the ground. For the second game in a row, just looking at it from a coaching perspective, as I try to do, we looked like a good football team. Now, did we make some plays? Did we get a little sloppy? Yep. On the defensive side of the ball, we had a few breakdowns in the passing game. Let me just kind of touch on that just a second. I'm normally pretty critical on that. But just think about this. After Betuli went out in particular, we had two freshman inside linebackers. Two freshman inside linebackers. To'o, who was out the first half, and Crouch. And one thing just to touch on here, we had a sighting yesterday, and I particularly watched him when he was in there. J.J. Peterson played yesterday. Been a lot of talk about where is he, what's he doing, all those types of things. He was, I don't have the tackle sheet with me right here. I'll get it here in a second. I think he had four or five tackles yesterday. I watched him move around. I don't know the reason he hadn't been playing. Probably a lot of reasons why. But to be able to see another freshman, he's a redshirt freshman, in there playing linebacker. So we essentially, certainly for the whole last half of the game, had three freshman linebackers manning those inside linebacker spots, rotating in there. To'o and Crouch. They continued to improve. Then we also had a freshman safety play a lot. McCullough played a lot last night. And boy, I'd heard a lot about him in spring. I heard about him in fall. And he showed out yesterday. Had a big sack. A guy can move around. A heavy hitter. So when you look at some of these passing things that were open across the middle, things like that. Didn't have many, but had some. A lot of that has to do. The touchdown pass is a good example. That last one they threw there. We had a freshman safety and a freshman linebacker. One of those two was supposed to have that tied in. It was somewhat of a play action pass, not a great fake. You have busts on things like that, but you can build on all of those things. So all in all, what I saw last night, I saw improvement. I saw us fight. I saw what I thought was good coaching. I thought we had good game plans both sides of the ball. We stuck with some things we started doing well. We got an excellent performance out of Jordan running the ball last night. 17 carries for 94 yards. He had his best game. We're doing some fundamental things really, really well right now. And now what we got to do, we got to clean up the other part of it. Just a couple of other things on this. I mentioned improvement offensively and improvement defensively. We should take a lot of good from this game. As I mentioned, as a team, Tuscaloosa, hostile crowd, number one team in the country. We got to clean up those penalties, no doubt about that. Did you know that, I'm sure there have been other games like this, there were 10 on both sides when you add them up. There were 10 first and 10s. Tennessee had 5 first and 10s. Alabama had 5 first and 10s because of penalties. Now, that's a sloppy game if you look at statistically, but it didn't appear to be real sloppy to me. But anyway, five penalties where we had got a first and 10, five where Alabama got a first and 10. Maurer appears to be the real deal to me. Don't know. But you look at the way he just looks out there. It was unfortunate they had to go out. Somewhat of a freak deal. Don't know where he's going to be right now. I have no ideas. You all know I don't listen or read anything before the show. I don't know that anything's come out about that. But anyway, he appears to be the real deal. We're going to find out these next five ball games. It was another fourth quarter strong finish, as I mentioned. We kept Alabama. This maybe was one of the key things in the ball game. If there was one thing I think that concerned all of us, certainly concerned me, was how were we going to contain, not stop, but hopefully slow down, this passing game that we've seen from Alabama. We did an excellent job of that. Listen, Ruggs and Judy and Smith and Waddle, those guys are a lot of people say, and I'm one of them, the best wide receiving core in the country. Waddle caught one pass. Devontae Smith got one pass. Jerry Jeudy caught three passes for 41 yards. Ruggs got four. Longest pass, 48 yards. So we contained that passing game pretty darn well with a average pass rush and a secondary that continues to get better. And the mistakes that were made and the coverage part of it was primarily because of true freshmen at linebackers and one safety. Not completely, but that was part of it. We had some good hitting. We had some aggressive play. And for my money, we got significantly better. As I mentioned, just look at this part of it. On offense, we had two freshman tackles and a freshman quarterback. Three players. Key players. At on defense, we had two freshman linebackers and a freshman safety. Ryan Mudd just brought me the stats on this. I didn't have it. J.J. Peterson had five tackles last night. I was just looking at this on a different sheet. Emerson, who's a freshman, had six tackles. I mentioned Peterson. McCullough had four tackles. Crouch had four tackles. So bottom line, there's some areas we are certainly improving in. I want to give you two stories, just kind of the way some coaches handle things. And I'm going to go back just a little bit. The situation wasn't exactly the same in 1988. Everybody knows that story. I won't go back into the story. Tennessee, we started 0-5. We had an open date, and then Alabama was coming to town. There were some changes made in the coaching staff. It was much the same type of game as this game was last night. A very good Alabama team came in. Alabama won, I think, 28-20, but Tennessee played well on both sides of the ball. Now, why am I bringing that up? Because this is where we are right now. This is where this team is right now. Very similar situation. Got five games at that point. That was pretty much, we had five games just like this team does. 0-6 then, certainly not 0-6 now. But five straight games, the final five games of the year that were winnable games for the University of Tennessee. That's where we are right now. We have five games remaining against teams that we can beat. Now, they can beat us, but we can beat them. I'll get into the down the road in just a second, a little later in the show. But five straight games. What happened back then? We won those five straight games. And after that Alabama loss in 1988, Tennessee won 16 of the next 17 games. And a lot of it had to do with the impetus and the momentum we got from a loss to Alabama. And that game was in Neyland Stadium. So these are some things we can build on. I'm going to try to touch on those things today. I'll hit some. There were some negative things yesterday. The officiating part of it, the call on Daryl Taylor, I thought could have been overlooked. Having said that, that was a stupid play by a senior. You know, no reason to. He didn't shove him down in, but just get up and go. And that was a key game. But we're off the field on that, and we're going to get the ball back, and we got a chance. And again, he's a very fine player. He's done a lot of good things there, but those are just the little things that you just simply can't do in games where you're scrapping and fighting. You can't when you get an opportunity to make big catches, you got to make them. When you get an opportunity to intercept passes and make big plays and strip the ball and get a sack, you got to make them in games like that. But all in all, a very encouraging game from my standpoint. Now, the most important thing is, where do we go from here? Let me tell you one quick story as we go to break. Frank Broyles, I love telling this story. I used to tell it all the time when I was coaching. Frank Broyles was at Arkansas when I was growing up. Dickey coached for him, Majors coached for him. Anyway, they tell the story about it. He lost a big ball game, and he came in the locker room to the team. You know, all coaches get everybody together, and after a loss, of course, you make a few comments and you move on. First thing out of his mouth was this when he walked in. He didn't say one word about the game that was just played, not one word. He walked in and said, "Let me tell you how we're going to beat whoever their next opponent was." I hope that this coaching staff and this head football coach, and I believe they didn't do something like that, but bottom line is what's important now, what was important as soon as that game ended was how are we going to beat South Carolina? Because, again, there are some games. There are five winnable games out there. We need to flip what happened last year. We were not a very good football team. We were a poor football team. We were a worse football team at the end of the year than we are the first half of the game. That's not what you want to be. It looks to me like that this team is a better football team. Not talking about wins, not talking about losses, but a better football team. Better coached, playing better, playing more aggressive for the last few ball games than we were at the end of last year. But time's going to tell. Games are going to tell. Score's going to tell going forward. I'll take a break. When we come back, going to take a look at down the road a little bit. We'll get into just a little bit more of what happened yesterday. And I don't normally take calls. I will take some calls on the show. I know some of you have some questions on some things that I have not covered. I would appreciate if they would be in the question form. One guy asked me one time, he said, Doug, we need to have a place to rant. Well, I understand that. I rant too, but I don't rant on this show. I rant at home or driving in sometimes. But if you have a question about something in the game, where we are, I'm going to try to cover a lot of those things, but 615-737-1045. We'll take a couple of phone calls on that. As we go to break, I'll talk to you about American Home Design. I think I've told you this before. The last 3 years, I've had a lot done to my home by American Home Design, a lot. I've had all my windows replaced, me and my wife. I've had the entry doors replaced. I've had the patio doors replaced. We're going to have more done going forward. And the bottom line, it is the most professional, one of the most professional people I've ever worked with, certainly the most in any home renovation type thing. They have a sale going on right now for a limited period of time. Calling it a sale is they always have something going on up there, but you can save up to $1,500 right now. Walk-in bathtubs, bath and shower remodeling, replacement windows, all of those things. So if you're looking, if you need them, my home was about 26 years old by that time. I built it when I moved back here. We needed some things done. And I went to American Home Design and could not be happier. Go online, check them out at AmericanHomeDesign.com.
At Lazy Boy.
For a wow experience in upscale dining, welcome to Stony River Steakhouse and Grill. You know us for our certified Angus beef brand steaks, but we're much more. Stony River is a neighborhood restaurant featuring fresh seafood entrees and made from scratch cuisine, complemented by handcrafted cocktails and award-winning wine list. All this to savor in a warm, rich ambiance. Stony River Steakhouse and Grill on West End in Nashville and Galleria Boulevard in Franklin.
Luna Custom Homes is now building in the Grove. If you're contemplating building in the Grove, my buddy Jay Luna would love the opportunity to meet and talk with you. Jay believes in the Grove. In fact, he has made the Grove the primary location for Luna Custom Homes. In addition to the Grove, if you're looking for something closer to downtown Franklin, well, the Arlington on West Main is just the ticket. 10 one-level residencies just two blocks from Starbucks. The Grove and the Arlington, all from Luna Custom Homes. 50 years building top-quality homes in Williamson County.
At Wilson Bank and Trust, our game plan in the community includes supporting our local schools on the gridiron and in the classroom. When it comes to buying or improving your home, we can help your family with those game plans too. From personal loans to mortgages, our lending experts are with you every step of the way. Let us help you get your financial game plan together at wilsonbank.com or any of our 28 Middle Tennessee locations. Wilson Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Rates and include stock numbers KR140575, K414228, KJ274133, KF202725.
Closeout deals start now at Walker Chevrolet on over 400 vehicles in stock. Right now, 2019 four-wheel drive Silverado LT and Suburban Premier get over $15,000 off MSRP. 2019 Traverse all-wheel drive RS and the all-electric Bolt Premier save over $12,000. Nashville's big Chevy store, Walker Chevrolet, Highway 96 and Carruthers, and WalkerChevrolet.com. We
sell more because you save more.
What if I told you that 15 minutes on a new fitness technology called Mandu would produce the same strength and fitness results as 6 to 8 hours of lifting weights? EMS, or electrical muscle stimulation, has been popular for years in Europe, and after recent approval from the FDA, it's being offered to Middle Tennesseans. Mandu uses a small electrical current to tighten and strengthen your muscles as you perform a series of flexing and stretching moves. Get all the information on this new exciting technology at Mandu.com. MANDUU.com.
Certainly the ones that have listened, long-time listeners on this. I really don't have a football team that I don't like. There's some that I'm not real fond of, maybe. A few fan bases that when I've been in, I've kind of questioned a little bit, but I guess probably some people question some of Tennessee's fan base. Anyway, but let me just say this. As we talk about this ball game, I don't want anybody to get the misconception on this. The score could have been worse in this game. We know that. Coach Saban, and I think he has a fondness for our head coach. I know he has a fondness for our head coach. So there probably could have been some more points scored there at the end. But this game was never a game to me about winning and losing this ball game. I had I wasn't under any misconception that we would win this game. Now, we might have had an opportunity, you know. But bottom line is, so, you know, when – I know it's easy to be critical, and it's easy to blame the officials, and it's easy to say Alabama gets the calls and all that stuff. I don't believe that for a second. I coached 10 years in this league. I coached 11 years in this league, 10 at Tennessee. These officials, I think, try to do the best job they can. It wasn't a fun game to watch last night because of all the penalties, but they were probably all penalties. So, anyway, and then the other part of it is, you know, the game, that's what I mentioned early at the first part of. There's some really good things, and then there were some things that are not so good. But overall, Tennessee, I thought, played very well. I'm going to take some phone calls. I'm going to get to the down-the-road part of it here, because what is key, and I've never lost focus on this. Most of you haven't either. We needed to get to these last five games this particular year, second year of this head football coach, building this team. There may be some out there who are still questioning whether he is building the team. There's no doubt in my mind. You just look at these younger players coming out, and we're getting better. He's got some things he needs to work on, too. I worked for John Majors for 10 years. He needed some things he needed to work on. I coached 20 years. There were some things the last year or two I needed to work on. So that never ends. But let's get to a few phone calls. I'll take your questions and maybe answer some of them. Again, I'll take a few more, 615-737-1045 if you're on the line. I'll get to you. Let's go to Mike first. Mike, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing, Coach Doug?
I'm very good. Thank you for calling.
No problem. I just kind of wanted to give you a little bit about my take on the game last night. I mean, just for a fleeting moment, we had a 13 or 14 play drive down there, and when we were getting ready, I just knew we were going to go in for the touchdown. And when we were getting ready to go in for that touchdown, for just a minute, it felt like to me like the Alabama games of old, where both teams were playing tough. And that's the first time this year I can recall that I thought our team really played with a lot of mental toughness. But, you know, of course, when we fumbled the ball and they took it back the other way, that kind of quelled all that. But I've been following the balls since back in the late 60s, actually about 68 or 67. And this is the first time in the last several years that it felt like one of those games of old where we could have come back, and who knows, if we had have scored a touchdown right there, I don't know if we'd have gone for two or not, but I kind of feel like Coach Pruitt would have. And also I think that he would have probably tried to surprise them with an onside kick on the kickoff the next time. But anyway, it felt really good there for a minute because I thought we were going to be in the game. And I'm like you, I did not expect them to win the ball game, but I think they played very well. And like you said, they made a couple of real stupid mistakes that really hurt us. The big one that turned the momentum around, you've already talked about, was where we got the penalty call, and I thought that was questionable.
Well, I got you there on Mike. Let me just kind of hit a couple of those things. First off, let's go to that that fumble. I know everybody's wondering about it. Then the reaction to Coach Pruitt afterwards. Let me tell you what happened on that play. Again, I haven't talked to anybody. I haven't read anything, but I know just looking at that play what happened. That was an off-tackle play that was supposed to bounce outside. They had Crouch in the ball game to do that. You saw the guard pull. Now, why the quarterback decided to do what he did, I have no idea, because that was a run play that was probably designed to bounce outside. You had a guard pulling. They call that a G play where you pull the guard. It was an off tackle. Fullback was going to had a fullback in the ball game, was going to block the linebacker that was coming or whoever was going to fill that gap. That was a bad, bad, bad play. Let me just touch on, I have no idea what's going to happen at the quarterback situation. We got a call here. I guess I'll get into that here in just a second. But I will say this. After last night, we got some of this is going to obviously have to do with Maurer. We saw Shrout play last night. That's pretty much it. I guess they probably got a walk-on or two. I don't want to presume anything, but boy, it's going to be hard for me to believe that after last night, this head coach will put number two back in a ball game. He might have to, and I may be 100% wrong on this, but I don't think so. That was a huge mistake. That gets you, to answer your question, Mike, we'll probably kick the extra point. We're 15 points down. We'll probably kick the extra point. That'll put us 8 points down and then go for two the next time. That's normally what you do. But the reason you do that is if you're 15 down, you score six, you go for two and don't make it, then you're nine down and you got to have two more scores. So that's the book on that. Would he have onside kick? I don't think he would have. He might have. I don't think he would have because we were playing pretty darn good defense. They had a backup quarterback in the game too, and that's another thing to remember. They had a guy that hadn't played much in there either. So – Victor's got a question about that third-team quarterback, let's get that, and then we'll just move on. Victor, how are you?
Hey, Doug, thank you for your show. Appreciate it and enjoy it. I'll just ask that question. Is JT ready to go? I mean, obviously nobody knows about Maurer and where he is and concussion protocol, but is he ready? He looked pretty good to me last night. I'll hang up and listen, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, he's probably not ready. He hadn't played hardly any. What did he play? Two ball games now, three, something like that. Probably not ready. You'll have to build around him if that's a factor. And, again, that's probably going to have something to do with what happens to Jarrett. But you know this. We know this. We saw what happened last night. That team saw what happened, and more importantly than what we saw. And I don't know how you come back from some of the mistakes that he's made. He just – everything they tell me about him – is wonderful, but there's just something about in a ball game where he just can't do it. You know, I don't know what it is. You know, that last night was a perfect example. Fourth down and a yard or half a yard, you got a play called from the sideline. You should know that you got a guard that's pulling. How do you think you're going to be able to run a quarterback sneak with your left guard pulling? I mean, Tim Tebow couldn't have got that ball in there. And then you fumble it, and, you know, at the very worst, you're going to have the ball. They're going to have the ball on the half-yard line, and maybe you get a turnover, maybe you get a sack, whatever. Just, the one thing I really want to do in this game, this show, I want to stay away from the negative part. We all know the negative, but there's so many positives with this team right now. Let's go to David up in Lafayette. David, how are you?
I'm doing good, Coach. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How's things up in Macon County?
Oh, they're good. They're good. Coach, I wanted to comment on a player that I'm real encouraged with. He wasn't a projected starter this year until the injury to Emmett Goodwin earlier in the year. But this boy seems to me like gets better every ball game, and that's Emerson on the defensive line there. He had that nasty injury at the opening competition, but they redshirted him last year, and he wasn't a projected starter this year. But due to the injury to Goodwin, he's been forced in there, and it just seems like he's getting better every year. I'll hang up and listen.
David, you're exactly right. He had six tackles yesterday. He was impressive, and he has been impressive. He's one of those young guys. You know, we got I mentioned this before. Next year, pretty easy to talk about next year, and we've been doing that for too long. But next year, defensive line. You know how many seniors we got on that whole group? We've had about 10 that have played, 9 or 10 that have played. Got a kid redshirting up there. This Simmons kid from Nashville is a player now. But he's freshman. Then they're able to redshirt. Next year, just think about this. We got Gooden will be coming back. We'll have 6 senior defensive linemen next year, those 3 down line positions. I'm not talking about the outside linebacker spot, which is essentially defensive lineman. But Emerson's playing very well. They're getting some really good play. That part of this team is a well-coached team, that unit. Tracy Rocker has done a wonderful job with that group. They've improved. One of the things that I've tried to talk about, almost every player up there, most of the older players were transfers, junior college transfers. They hadn't had to work on the technique and the leverage and all those types of things. All those are positives. Future shows, we'll talk more about that. Let's go to Fred here in Nashville. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Coach. How you doing today?
Good. Thank you.
Well, I had a quick question. I was actually painting a room last night while the game was going on, and I missed the whole detail on the play around why they slowed down progress when we had that big run that got us down close to the goal line and eventually resulted in the play where Garantano had his helmet knocked off and whatnot. I was wanting to see if you could explain a little bit what happened, because I saw Coach Pruitt was pretty upset with the officiating crew when that pace of play got slowed down. Could you help me out there?
Yeah, I think there was a couple of things. One, that was early. That wasn't the last drive I don't think you're talking about. But when they were trying to hurry up and get up and run a play quickly, the official on the sideline, on his sideline, I don't know if that's a head linesman or – I forget which one's a field judge and one's a head linesman. Anyway, but something with the clock, they had to reset it. And that enabled Alabama to kind of get some things in, and Tennessee wanted to hurry up. I think, again, that's kind of a feel thing. The best officials, you know, they kind of get a feel. That play clock had nothing to do with that play. We weren't going to use 40 seconds. We weren't going to use 10 seconds. We were going to run a quick play. Now, what would happen would happen. That's what he was upset about that. Let me say this. You know, notwithstanding the quarterback situation there at the end, which I'm probably not going to touch on too much, I've been in that position. When I was a player, I've had my face messed. That wasn't – I don't think it was inadvertent, but it wasn't very – he may take a little crap for that. Maybe if he does, he does. I've had my helmet almost yanked off by Bobby Proctor when I played secondary for him. And early in my career, I grabbed a few face masks myself. Different era now, I know that. But anyway, all right, John, stay there. I got to get a break out of the way here. I'll come back and we'll take a phone call from you. And then I'm going to end up on, you know, down the road, what we got going on. I'll talk to you about Double Dogs. Great place to go, family-oriented sports bar, great signature food, TVs all over the place. They say they got 30-plus. I'm leaning more on the plus side. Bunch of them in there, every one I've ever been in. Two of them right here in Nashville, Hillsborough Village and over on Charlotte Pike. Now, great food. And, of course, they got the great beverages also. 5 different hot dog. You like hot dogs? They got them. You like signature mac and cheese dishes? They got them. Classic appetizers and, of course, salads and burgers and sandwiches, piece of everything that a family sports bar should be. Go to their website, check them out. They got other locations up in Knoxville, up in Bowling Green and other areas, but right here locally, Hillsborough Village, Charlotte Pike. Again, a family-oriented sports bar, and you can find out all their locations at doubledogs.biz.
71.
Other than the fact that I need 4 of them to drive around, I do, however, know Bruce Rather at Tire World. And when my car needs tires and alignment,
an oil change, or a problem diagnosed, Bruce gets a call from me. For 35-plus years, Tire World has been a staple in Rutherford County. They have locations in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Chapel Hill. So for most any kind of tires at great prices, go see Bruce at Tire World and look them up at tireworld.us.
I'm Hunter Thrasher at Tressler & Associates, PLLC. I believe in providing top-notch legal service to my clients by blending old-school customer service and attention to detail with the most up-to-date ideas and technology. My goal as your attorney is to turn a one-off transactional relationship into a trusted, all-encompassing partnership and general counsel role. My firm's motto is securing your peace of mind. To contact me, you can reach me at TresslerAssociates.com. That's TresslerAssociates.com.
Sports fans, this is Lucy Bottorff with Frederick and Clark Realty. If you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the Middle Tennessee area, you need an experienced agent. For over two decades, I have worked with people just like you, helping navigate both buyers and sellers in this aggressive market. New neighborhoods are springing up all over. Traffic concerns are so important. That's where my experience can help. Contact Lucy Bottorff of Frederick and Clark Realty at iSellNashvilleRealEstate.com.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star Wind in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
Want to be at Nissan?
John out in Lebanon. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing well. Enjoy your show both Saturday and Sunday mornings very much.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to comment on the quarterback sneak play that was fumbled by Garantano, and you commented earlier, you said you thought it was a handoff to the left or a sweep left because the left guard was pulling. But in Coach Pruitt's interview after the game, his press conference, I watched it this morning online, he said it was a called quarterback sneak play, but he was upset at the quarterback because he leaped over the line rather than dove underneath, which the other quarterback had scored earlier on the quarterback sneak when he went low down over the left guard. And so it was a called quarterback sneak play, according to the coach. So I expect we'll see Garantano play if Maurer can't this week. I think he was over this upset part.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll say this. I coached offense for 10 years. The first play we put in spring practice, by the way, and when I was in first 8.5 years as Tennessee as running back coach, first play we put in a spring practice every year, the first play we put in fall practice every year was quarterback sneak. Wedge play, getting down low. I have never seen a quarterback sneak where a guard pulled. I saw the replay of that. I didn't hear what Coach Pruitt said. I saw the replay of that. The fullback and the tailback, which I believe was Crouch, he was one of the two, were running in an off-tackle play to probably bounce it outside. That's what I saw. I'll take your word. That's what Coach Pruitt said. But if it was a quarterback sneak, on the 1.5 yard line, and a guard is pulling, you know, I don't know. But if that's what he said, that's what he said. I'm sure he probably had a pretty good idea what the play call was. He had his headsets on. All right, let's take a little look down the road here. Carolina. They lose to Florida, 27-38. I watched a good bit of that game. Carolina didn't. They looked real good last week. We've been in that boat before, too, hadn't we? Had a big win, and you come back and don't play so well. But Carolina's beatable. They got quarterback problems, I think, there. UAB won 38-14 over Old Dominion. Don't know anything about Old Dominion. Don't know a whole lot about UAB. They are, I think, only have one loss. Kentucky lost to Georgia, and shutout, really didn't come close to scoring, 21-0. Missouri and Vanderbilt played each other. Vandy won 21-14. Big win for Vanderbilt, by the way. I really thought after last week that they were probably through. Bottom line is this, though. All five of those teams were beatable. We're going to have to play well. But you know what? I don't know if I'd say we're playing well, but I think we are playing well. Now, we got to clean up some things. We got to get rid of those penalties, the silly penalties. You know, last week was just the opposite in the Mississippi State game. We didn't have any pre-snap penalties on. Didn't have a single offensive penalty, number one. I don't know how many of those 13 penalties we had were offensively, but the majority were. I know that. Got to clean that up. We can. The quarterback situation, going to have to wait and see what happens there. That will dictate what Jim Chaney does on offense. Just a quick thought about Jim Chaney. Very easy to be critical of a play caller. That goes along with play calling. I thought his game plan last week was really good, and I thought this one was really good. You try to keep yourself in games. You know, when you're playing a team that's better than you are, really, you know, what you strive to do and what you pound in your players and what you try to do as a coaching staff, you try to get the game into the fourth quarter. Well, we were in the fourth quarter with a chance to be within one score. We were within two scores for much of the fourth quarter. That's where you try to get. You try to get to the end of that fourth quarter. If you can get within one score, then anything can happen. Just like what happened with us when we fumbled a ball in the end zone. They had a 100-yard fumble return. So that's what you try to do. And we're getting that now. This team has become a better, much better fourth quarter team. Just kind of compare it to last year. I mentioned we had the bowl 10 minutes of this game. The last two games, the Mississippi State game and this game, our offense was able to take the ball on long drives. One a scoring drive, and the other got us down against Alabama into the 1 foot line. So what does that tell me? It should tell you. We're a stronger team, we're a more physical team, we're a better conditioned team, and all those things that's been being worked on up there behind the scenes, the strength conditioning, the nutrition part of it, all that. We're getting stronger, we're getting better, and we're becoming a team that's kind of fun to watch, at least from my standpoint. I enjoyed watching that game yesterday. I enjoy seeing young guys get better. I enjoyed watching those young linebackers that kind of, you know, they're kind of like an old coach told me one time when I was a young coach, kind of like watching a little baby deer learn to start running. You know, they slip around, they can't stand up, you know, maybe a young giraffe. You ever seen those on Animal Planet, you know, but then they start to be kind of get their feel and then they start. And we got some young guys that can do that. There's things to be critical of about this coach. There's things to be critical of with every coach. But if you're really looking at it, I think, realistically, you can see this team and this program getting better. There is so much to build on there. I'm going to take my last break. Got to get one more out of the way. And then, of course, I'm going to have a church segment. I know I hear from some of you got too many commercials at the last part of the show. I understand that. That church segment takes a part of that. Mid-10 Ford. If you're a truck person, you are probably a Ford truck person. And if you're a Ford truck person, you most definitely are a mid-10 Ford truck person. I'm driving one of the new, and I say new, it's been around a long time, but they haven't sold in America for the last 10 years or so. One of the new right now Ford Rangers, extended cab, love it. Got all the bells and whistles on it, which I like. But if you need work done, they got a parts department out there, $1 million parts all the time, service department, best around. Collision Center can handle everything there. They got a paint booth that paint anything up to 65 feet long. Mid-10 Ford Trucks. Ford Trucks at mid10trucks.com.
Stover's Liquidation.
Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offer bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com or see them in any of their 5 Middle Tennessee or 3 Knoxville area locations. Plus, all locations have their own Facebook page and are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
This is Doug Matthews.
And this is Dave McGinnis.
Did you know Medicare has a co-insurance and deductibles and doesn't cover prescription drugs?
And traditional Medicare doesn't provide dental or vision coverage.
Well, that's why I have my Medicare supplement and Part D plan through Farm Bureau Health Plans.
And why I bought their Dental Vision Silver plan.
Farm Bureau Health Plans has been serving Tennesseans since 1947.
And because they're right here in Columbia, Tennessee, you've definitely got the home field advantage.
Farm Bureau Health has you covered at fbhealthplans.com.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And no is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey, man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Plumbing trouble? Has your HVAC stopped working? Let the expert team at Jewel Mechanical take a look at your heat, air, or plumbing. Trust us to do the work right the first time and to only sell you what you need. Let us help you make your home and family comfortable year-round. Ask about our money-saving HVAC and plumbing maintenance agreements. As always, free estimates with second opinion and financing available. Jewel Mechanical, 615-469-5965 or jewelmechanical.com.
You're trying to keep him out of there on the one-foot line. I made a good hit, but anyway. You know, the positive thing out of that, though, to me was we actually gave up fewer points in the second half than we did the first half when Betulli was in there. We had those two freshman linebackers, three freshmen when Peterson was in. The inside linebackers for the whole second half were two freshmen. Played pretty darn well. I'm sure they were out of position, made some mistakes, but run around hitting people. And that's where it all starts. You got to have guys that'll run around and hit people. You know, then you kind of start controlling them a little bit on that. But got to get the targeting cleaned up. That's two targeting penalties. And, you know, you learn those things, but you just simply, they're going to call that. They're going to call, shoving a quarterback down. You know, I know that official, that referee that called it, he's a veteran official. I thought he could have overlooked that, but technically it was what it was. So you got to be smarter there, and I'm sure those things will be talked about. Carolina, UAB, Kentucky, Missouri, Vanderbilt. Tennessee has an opportunity to put together a run here. Relatively healthy when you look at it. Got some guys, you know, going to have to find out exactly what happens at quarterback. But we got an offensive coordinator and I think an offensive staff that will build around whatever, whoever is in there. Defensively, we're continuing to get better. Have Betulli back now. We got three good linebackers sitting in there. We got a bunch of defensive linemen that are playing well. We got some secondary guys that are playing well. I noticed that kind of interesting to me, George Jr., he started the last few games. He's really become a factor. He hadn't done hardly anything on the defensive side of the ball. He had in the kicking game earlier. So a lot of positives, some pluses right now. Now got to end the deal. We got to finish the deal, and it starts with Carolina. Three of those last five are at home, Kentucky, Missouri on the road, the other three. And, of course, we got an open date in there also. All right. Thanks so much for being part of the show, Ryan Mutt.
The customer appreciation sale prices at Music City Autoplex. They're one of the top 50 fastest growing companies in Middle Tennessee, and it's because of people just like you. And to thank you, they are celebrating with special pricing on all vehicles. If you are in the market for your next quality pre-owned vehicle, now's the time to shop. Check out the amazing sale prices. See what all's going on at Music City Autoplex and enjoy their customer appreciation sale. Find out more at MusicCityAutoplex.com.
This